is if we completely surrender, give ourselves up, our thoughts, our wants and desires, for His wants, thoughts and desires. And then we can fall in His arms, and everything that we have need of, as the Word says, will be given to us. Amen? Hallelujah. I would strongly suggest that you meditate that and think about that. His whole purpose and design and everything He did was for us to be dependent on Him. Your salvation didn't come in your ability. It came on your agreement with and your acknowledgement of the work that He did and that He came to do and that He completed on the cross. Isn't that right? So everything else comes by the same thing. Our obedience and our acknowledgement of Him. Amen? I don't know where we got the idea that everything in this life is dependent on us. Dependent on our abilities or what we do or how we act or what job we have. It's based on obedience to the Word of God. And the only way you're going to know that is to be in the Word of God. Amen? Renee's been really hitting that hard, and rightfully so. I like it. Praise the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding, to your own ways. But in all your ways and in everything you have and everything you do, give glory to Him, and He will direct your path. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a no-lose situation. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Fellas, if you'll come forward. Amen. I like that excitement. Hallelujah. You know, that blesses me. Sometimes y'all don't realize what's going on around you. We're so wrapped up in our little world, you don't realize what's going on around you. And there's some people who, and I happen to know for a fact that those claps are out of need. But they're blessed needs. They're trusting God. And they're excited about giving because they know God's going to restore it because of a good heart. Amen? So, praise the Lord. We need to follow their example. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we love You. And we demonstrate that right now, Lord, by not hoarding, Lord, or hiding what You blessed us with. It's Yours anyway, Lord. So we freely give back to You what is Yours, what You deserve, what's our obligation, Lord. Obligation not because You need the money, Lord, but because it's Your plan, again, dependent on You, Lord, for blessings that will overtake us. And You said if we give, You would give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, would men give into our bosoms. And if we'd obey You this, Lord, in this, Lord, giving of our time and our talents and our finances, Lord, that You would cause the blessings to come and even run us down. We stand on Your Word, Lord. We keep this morning in our giving, we stand on Your Word and tie it to a promise. And now, Lord, we ask You to bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name for the furtherance of Your kingdom. And we give You honor and glory and praise and thanksgiving. Amen. What a blessing Gene is. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we sang this morning about righteousness being restored. I want to ask you, does anybody here hear Paul Harvey's program during the day? Does anybody pay attention? Well, I want to read you something that was sent to me by my sister in Fresno. Bless her heart, she sends me exciting things over the internet by email. And for those of you who listen to Paul Harvey, you may have caught this, but I just want to read this to you. You know, again, we sang about righteousness being restored. And there are those we've been talking about for years in this church, about those who would stand up and take dominion and be bold about it. Amen? We need to stand up and take our rightful place, take dominion. And here's what it is. It's an opening prayer that was given in the Kansas State Senate. And here's just a little note. It says, "Thought you might enjoy this interesting prayer given in Kansas at the opening session of their state senate. It seems prayer still upsets some people. When Minister Joe Wright was asked to open the new session in the Kansas State Senate, everyone was expecting the usual generalities. But this is what they heard. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, 'Woe to those who call evil good.' But that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium, reversed our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism. We've exploited the poor and called it lottery. We've rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity, pornography, and called it freedom of speech. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here to direct us to the center of your will and to openly ask these things in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Christ Jesus." Amen. The response was immediate. A number of legislators walked out during the prayer in protest. In 6 short weeks, Central Christian Church, where Reverend Wright is pastor, logged more than 5,000 phone calls, with only 47 calls responding negatively. The church is now receiving international requests for copies of this prayer from India, Africa, and Korea. Commentator Paul Harvey aired this prayer on his radio program, The Rest of the Story, and received a larger response to this program than any other he has ever aired. With the Lord's help, may this prayer sweep our nation and wholeheartedly become our desire so that we can once again be called one nation under God.
That's exactly right. And much more important than the Super Bowl. They took liberties when they called it the Super Bowl, didn't they? I took note of times when my commode was more aptly named the Super Bowl. We need to make light of those things that we do that are silly. You know that? I think God would take note when we began to make light of the silly things that we place as importance and get our eyes back on Him. God has blessed and will continue to bless this man that said that prayer. He did it knowing that he would be chastised, knowing that he probably wouldn't be asked back. But the Bible says how beautiful are the feet of that man. And I'd rather be called beautiful by God than anything by anybody else. Good, bad, or indifferent, it makes no difference. I know God's looking all over the world for a few good men and women. What the Bible says. You know why He says that? Because there's not very many out there. And He has to look. And what we ought to do is be painting targets on us and say, "Here I am, God. You know, if you want to get me kicked out of a Senate, that's fine. I know where the true government lies." That man knew that he represented a truer government than the Kansas State Senate. That's why he was able to say that. Praise the Lord. I've got a word before the word this morning for you. I just got it a while ago. I got this picture, and you all know what happened to this little, airplane that men think they're big, throwing up and it falls back down. We did that when we were kids, remember? We just didn't have as much money to spend on it. You understand how little man is? That it takes everything they've got and sacrifice souls just to break the atmosphere of the earth which God created. If we just spend half as much, a tenth as much time, energy, and money trying to get to Him, we'd soar all the time. I was listening to the news a little bit this morning, and one of the ladies that was in the shuttle sent an email while she was in space to her mother, sister, whoever. And she said, "I hope that the earth is receiving the good beams that I'm sending down." And I thought, the lady just went to hell. She just told the world she's not a Christian. I mean, just like that. A newsman said, I hope that these astronauts, that their water tastes like air now. That's what I said. What? This was profound wisdom that some newsman was saying. Now that they're out there floating in space, wherever they are, I hope their water tastes like air. Now, Stan, are you making fun of their deaths? In a way. I'm sorry. In a way, I am. Just like I'm making fun of the Super Bowl. Is it real? Sure, it's real. But where are we in this reality? Are we getting sucked up in this nonsense called man's ways? Or does everything that happened on the face of the earth bring us back to the face of Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Our president stood up and he had to speak to this, so he quoted Isaiah. He quoted Isaiah. The wisdom of the world says, I hope their water tastes like air. When was the last time you got thirsty? Would you have liked your water to taste like air? That's why you're thirsty. You know, really, Christians, you need to get on the ball here. You need to be judging what you hear. You need to judge it to the ground, or you need to exalt it. But judge it. Why judge it? So you don't go there. So you don't go there. This is the word that the Lord told me this morning. We, in our hundreds of billions of dollars invested in this one little spacecraft. One little spacecraft. What could we do with the money? That thing has been massaged more than... You could take all the massage therapists and touch everybody in the world, and that thing has been massaged more than all of that together. Every little detail has been covered. I mean, there's not one fraction of a centimeter that has not been touched and reinspected and reattached and reinspected. Every care that man could give to this thing has been given. The finest of everything has been given to this. And poof. And you know what poofed it? One mistake. One little 5x5 mistake made it vulnerable and instantly disintegrated. Now here's the word of the Lord to you this morning. Your life's not like that. Your life's not like that because unless you are controlling your life. If your life, if your future, if your finances, if your health is based on your massage, your touch, and your technology, one mistake and you will disintegrate. One mistake and you will disintegrate. But if it's based in the Lord, that mistake won't even be noticed. It'll just be corrected. Would it have been a good thing for that spacecraft and those people in that spacecraft to have been in the salvation hand of Jesus Christ, where one mistake wouldn't have brought destruction? That's called grace and mercy. Was it available to them? Yes. It was available to them. It's available to every endeavor of mankind. Why are you saying this, Dan? Because the Lord told me to, number one. But I want to remind you this morning that as we walk and as we talk, whether we wreck a car or whether we shoot our mouth off the wrong way sometime, we are not going to disintegrate because of one mistake. It's called grace and mercy. Unless we are trying to operate our own lives, then let me not ride with you. If it's all in what you can do and your wisdom and your understanding of technology, I want to ride somewhere else because your craft is coming undone. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for that. God's doing a real strong work in me. I'm beginning to get a focus on. I know he's been doing that for a while, but I'm beginning to get a focus on that very fact. And I hope over the time you're going to catch it. You're going to catch it. Oh yeah, you bet. Children's church. Praise the Lord. I stand amazed as they go through these seven and their credentials and the work that they've been through and the education and, man, how much money we've got in them. Poof. Where would they be if they'd have just put a little bit of time into the truth? Not into technology, but into truth. Did you ever notice that science leads you away from truth and it leads you into technology? It's the most amazing thing. In a search for truth, science will lead you to technology. What is technology? It's what you and I can discover and accomplish. Truth, the Bible says that all the secrets of the universe are wrapped up in the truth. Every witty invention is wrapped up in the truth. So if we want a partial truth, we seek only science. If we want the whole truth, we seek the truth which will reveal science. And our flight will go better. Our flight will go sure. One little mistake. Can I tell you something? We will never cover all the mistakes. We'll never cover all the mistakes. Let me draw you a little picture. A little synopsis of the picture. This is what God wants us to understand. Since the beginning of man, since He handed us a beautiful, perfect earth, and we, Adam, messed it up. Because we, Adam, thought that we might have a greater thought than God. His job, His purpose has been trying to convince us that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means it is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We will never be successes until we learn that everything that we put our hand to only prospers when it's God's hand and ours. Not our hand, and God, I hope you catch up. We're going to have to learn to stop pushing and shoving and yelling and screaming and be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know what led by the Holy Spirit means? He's already gone that way. And you're following. Most Christians think that led of the Holy Spirit means that, come on, God. Come on, you're way too slow. If you just do it like I told you to do it, we'd be okay. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one ever had that thought. I've heard some of you testify and pray it. A lot of times our prayers end up more instruction to God than asking for instructions. Who do we think we are? I know what we think we are. We think we're greater than God. God, since I read your word, I have a better understanding than you do. Because you don't walk in my shoes, I do, so you need to listen to me. I'm going to go ahead and preach to you what I ended last week, if that makes any sense to you. But let's pray first. Our Father who art in heaven, who is earth, who is all in all, hallowed and holy and pure and precious and blameless is your name. If there's a mistake made on the face of this earth, it's us and not you. You're holy and you're pure. We ask you this morning in every life and every thought process, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in this earthen vessel, on this earth, just exactly like you'd have it be, Lord. For us to be submitted to you, we have to lay down our thoughts and our wills and our desires. So we gladly do that this morning and pick up yours. We ask you this morning for daily bread, for that thing that we have need of. And because we love you and because we trust you, we proclaim that yours is the kingdom and the power. Yours is the glory. Yours is the science. Yours is the understanding. Yours is the revelation. Yours is the finances. Yours is the health. And we seek you this morning. We do it in purity and in truth. And we do it in the name that takes dominion over every name, in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen. Hallelujah. I got four titles because the message is divided up into four different sections. The questions are, do you listen? Number two, do you obey? Number three, are my feet beautiful? And number four, what are you thinking? I want to remind you this morning Please don't get mad at me. I may mention a couple of things, but what I'm speaking about this morning is our seeking any other true physician than God. Now, you understand what true physician is? That's the one that can heal every aspect of your life. We're not talking about sickness, disease, PhDs, DDs, DDTs, and all this kind of stuff. Okay? We're talking about the one that went to the cross, died for you and I to provide everything we've ever needed, compared to any other title or name on the face of this earth. Did you ever take note of this? That whatever you seek, you need more of all of the time. Whatever you're seeking hard after, you never get enough of. If it's vitamins, you'll find one more vitamin that ought to be good. Pretty soon you start rattling when you walk. Right? Never saw anybody that started going after vitamins that didn't have 20 or 30 bottles on top of their cabinet. And they'll roll them out like they're M&Ms. They'll just lay them all over the table. Well, this one's for this and this one's for that. And then the next time they go to the vitamin store, there's one or two more. Oh, I've missed that area. That's what you can do by your hands. The more money that you want, the more you need. The more exercise you do, the more you have to exercise. The more doctor, lawyer, Indian chief that you seek, the more you have to have. Number two, the more you seek to trust Jesus, the more peace you have. The more health and prosperity you seek, the more you need health and prosperity. Are you hearing what I said? See, we're making a big mistake in our lives when we seek the Lord for health. When you seek the Lord for money. Because He is everything you need. You seek Him, He'll meet all the needs. You seek specific needs and you'll never have enough. Now, this may sound a little strange to you, but I'm telling you, this is what God's dealing with me in great detail. Maybe too much, don't know. Let's see if we can get there. The more you seek Him, the more you'll want Him. And the more you'll have of Him. That includes health, wisdom, revelation, discernment, knowledge, understanding, power, authority. But the more you seek the specific need, the more you'll have that specific need. You know why? Because He doesn't want you telling Him what you need. He says He knows your needs before you ask. Amen. Those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What do? I want money, Jesus. Instead of, I want Jesus, money. What are you putting first? Those that run to help other than the Lord are still in need of help and the Lord. Did you ever notice those that seek a word always seek more word? But those that seek the word always have word? If you seek the Lord for a word, you'll always be seeking another report, another word. The only time amen ever enters into your life is when you seek the Lord. You understand what I'm saying, or do we need to stand up, take a breath, and sit back down? Either get your head shaking, one way or the other, or you need to do some exercises. Now, come on. If we seek the Lord, we have the report. If we seek the report, we never get the Lord. If we seek peace, we'll never get any peace. If we seek the Lord, He says He is the peace. We'll have it. Man's insurance, man's assurance, Canon will never provide promise and hope and surety. The shuttle. They told those astronauts that that thing was good for 100 missions. It didn't make it. It didn't make it. Well, they had man's assurance. Might even had some insurance. Didn't do any good. Let me say something to you, and you can write this down. Whatever is promised to you, whatever is given to you, unless it's signed in blood, it doesn't count. I don't care what insurance policy, what assurance policy, what doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, what I don't care what it is. You can't depend on it unless it's signed in blood. So whatever you're putting your faith in, see what it's signed in. If it's got a man's signature, even yours. If it's got anybody's stamp, but a blood stamp. It's what man can do. And one little mistake, and it disintegrates. Turn with me. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Everything that we're going to talk about today is based in this, in these three or four verses of Scripture. Could you stand with me right quick in honor of God's Word? Romans 10. We're going to read a lot of Scripture, but I want you to read with me Romans 10, 15 through 17. Listen carefully. My first question to you is, do you listen? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Peace is truth, remember? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach glad tidings of good things. That doesn't mean it makes you happy. It just is good. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And how shall they preach unless they are sent, and all have not obeyed? Y'all be seated. I hope you listened. Let me say a couple of things to you right off the bat. I don't even know if I can even get close to the end of this. There are many good speakers. There are few preachers. You're going to have to figure out what the difference is. Goosebumps are not the measuring stick. How much the guy froths at the mouth or spits is not the measuring stick. And how large a crowd he draws is not the measuring stick. What is the measuring stick? The truth. According to this, the truth, which brings gladness, good things, which brings truth, and which brings faith, and brings and peace. Faith and peace. Number one, do you listen? Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10, 12, back up with me just a little bit. Romans 10, 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. The Lord is rich upon all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't get anything else today, you get that one verse. Because this one's signed in blood. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not who calls 911. Not who calls American Family Insurance. Not who calls doctor, put your name at the end of it, whoever's name you want there. Not who calls any man's name or any other name. It says, those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a surety because it's signed in blood. It's so sure that I would still like, and if, by the way, I warn you that when you finally hear the word of the Lord, you will be tested on that. I want to warn you about that. That's the trouble with listening to the truth. The next step is test. So, just a little advice to you. The test is so that you can pass, not fail. You're given the opportunity to pass from glory to glory. So the next time a little panic hits you, you better remember, those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Please, let's back up a little bit. Let's get a better overview. Let's stop calling on Him to do things. Let's just call on Him. And let Him decide what needs to be done. My goodness, you walk into a doctor's office and you say, I got a pain right here, and here's what I think you need to do, and you spend the next 10 minutes telling him what to do, you go find yourself another doctor. Because you didn't go in there to tell him what to do, you went in there to get done. Right? Well, he doesn't even have the ability, but God has the ability. When you go into His presence with thanksgiving, you don't go laying out your laws. This is what I want done, and this is what I want done. You sure? Are you sure? Maybe that's why you're in the problems you're in, is because I did what you asked me to do. Maybe you can't see from beginning to end like I can, God would say. Maybe I know what's better for you than you do. It's amazing how much we will trust doctors, lawyers, whatever somebody calls himself a professional, a lot more than we do God. We'll just walk in and hand them money. And we're afraid to ask for a second opinion, which is really kind of foolish anyway, but second opinion just means you're going to make one of them mad. And that one you don't want to go back to. Right? Who are you calling on? When you are in need, whose name do you reach for and dial? Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean about every other name you call on? Is that any salvation for you? Not if you believe the Lord. Now let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that God's going to intervene or actually do everything that you need done. I'll give you a prime example. I know there's a number of people in here that think they can preach up a storm. Well, I got some news for you. If you ain't called, you're just a speaker. You're not a preacher. And you can just blow up your skirt all you want to. But the truth be revealed, nothing happens. Right? So, your job is to find a preacher and call upon him to increase your faith. You call upon the Lord. The Lord calls the preacher. You don't call a preacher because he doesn't ask you your opinion. But you say, God, your scripture says, it says that I really can't hear unless you send someone to talk to me. Did you know the Bible says that? That's how God works through people. But He works according to His own establishment, His own government, His own will. We need to get to the place in our lives when we look at a situation, a problem, a threat, and we smile. We just begin to grin. Because we already know that all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And in His way, it will be solved. We need to have that kind of confidence. Are you listening? That's this section. Are you listening? Having faith in the Lord means, God, if you don't do this, it ain't going to get done. That doesn't mean that we set and grow our wide spots. The Bible says faith without works is dead. Well, Stan, you're confusing me. How do I work? When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. And when you hear the voice of the Lord, you do exactly what He told you to do. But I didn't want to. But I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. A good parent doesn't ask their child what they want to do. They tell them what they want to do. Because they're supposed to be smarter than their child. Why? Mileage. Pure mileage. That, and it's called, you are called to parent. If I've got to get up here and preach because I'm called to preach, well, you need to get to parenting because you were called to parent. You don't need to shove that off on Dr. Spock or some psychologist. You're the one going to be judged in the last day. God's not going to call upon their name like you foolishly did. He's going to call you by name. Say, step here. How come when I told you for the sake of the child to spank that child, you didn't do it? Do you think I don't know what I'm talking about? Come on, let's get face to face with God for a second. When I instructed you how to raise that child and what to tell him, how come you didn't listen? And then how come you came to me blaming me when it went wrong? Who do you think you are? Number four, what are you thinking? Come on, can't you recognize what I'm saying? Christians stand up and they'll just raise their hands and they'll tell God how good He is and then they'll walk out the back door and light up a cigarette when He told you not to defile your temple. Walk right out the door and commit adultery. Well, this marriage stuff, God knows. God knows. He understands. Yeah, He did. He wrote the law with understanding. He knows what's good for us and what's not. Well, a little lie is to protect the people. Oh, you're smarter than God. That's what you're telling me. When He said, thou shalt not lie, you read the rest of the book and it had a bunch of exceptions on there, right? We can move on. Psalms 27, verse 5. I happen to know that this scripture applies to every individual that's in this room because all of us have had a time of trouble. Psalms 27, 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me. He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Yeah, but you don't understand. I got to help Him. He won't do it unless I get to work. Well, your work is your faith.
Right.
Hardest work you'll ever have is to faith it.
Yep.
Verse 6. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Oh. Y'all notice, and now? That's not stated the same way as the first part. In other words, when we finally decide that He's going to hide me, and He'll set me on high, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. When I really believe calling upon the name of the Lord will accomplish hiding me, protecting me, and lifting me up, now it'll happen. Now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. You know what we sing? We say this. As soon as He does this, I will offer up sacrifices. That's not what this said. This said, I have realized that will happen, and so now I offer up praises. Our salvation comes from calling upon the name of the Lord, trusting Him. It doesn't come from signs and wonders following. I would like to get the seven that died and set them right here now that they've had a glimpse into eternity and ask them what's important now. Ask them if all the energy and effort and dollars and sacrifice that they put in is that of any importance now. In our little short lifespan of 70, 80, 90, 120, whatever you determine God has for you, that little bit of time span in eternity is nothing compared to the decision to trust God. Because that opens up now and eternity. Psalms 37, verse 39. Psalms 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous, anybody in here want to be righteous? Well, here's how you be righteous. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. How do you be righteous? You realize your only salvation is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. Help them and deliver them. If you're doing something, you better make sure the Lord's helping you. You're not helping Him. He doesn't need any help. Shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. All of this will happen because they trust in Him. It'll not just happen because He said so. It'll happen because you trusted that He said so.
Amen.
Well, how do you know? How do I know if I'm trusting Him? In time of trouble, who do you call? I don't mean to be so simple, but when you smash your thumb, what do you call? When it looks like you might die, who do you call? Unless you become as a little child. Who do you trust? Where is your trust? Not your final trust, but your only trust. Where is your trust? Your only trust. Don't tell me just before you go to sleep for the last time where your final trust is. I want to know right now where your only trust is. Is it in you or is it in Him? How good do you think you are? When the deadlines come, whatever they are, when the deadlines come, do you lay awake saying, what can I do? Or do you lay there giving Him praises for what He is doing? And you don't even know what He's doing. You just give Him praises because He's doing it. Because you trust Him. You trust Him that He wouldn't leave you hanging out to dry. You trust Him that He wouldn't mistreat you. You really do believe Jeremiah when you know that His very thoughts for you are good. You trust that fact. And when worry starts coming, when fear starts coming, praises get louder. In Exodus 15, 26, it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Y'all really believe that? Now I'm going to ask you more importantly. Do you think He's better than a doctor? Did He promise to be your provision and your provider?
Yes.
Do you think that's better than your work?
Yes.
Or your wisdom or your ability? Is He going to use your work? Yes, He is. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not asking anybody to lay down and become welfare recipients because that's the wrong work. God won't bless that. God won't bless that. God won't bless that. God's not going to bless you for living off of me. He may bless me, but He's not going to bless you. Is it your work and effort that delivers? Or is it God's work and effort that delivers? One is signed in blood. What'd you sign in? Do you obey? Is it good enough for just us to get a little pep talk here this morning? We get a little encouragement? Or do we have to obey what we hear? Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For even Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed thy report? This is something else the way God has set up. If He calls a minister to speak something to you, bring revelation or direction. If it's not, see, here's what we think goosebumps means revelation. But I got news for you. Revelation is a direction. It's a revealing of a direction. It does not necessarily come with goosebumps. Sometimes it comes with, oh me. I didn't want to hear that anyway. Romans 10:11. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. How many of you have ever felt like that you were risking something when you tried to believe God? Every one of you, because that's the devil's job to tell you that. He's faithful to tell you you're risking something if you try to believe God for something. Here's what His response to the devil is, and His instruction to you. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Now, He didn't guarantee you wouldn't feel shame, because some of us feel shame over some of the silliest things in the world. It says you'll not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, and for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is this true? Is this true? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is this true? All right, a little harder question. Is this practiced? We've determined the truth. Now I'm looking at you and me and saying, are we practicing the truth? Are we waiting until there's no other choice? Which means that is our choice, whatever choice we're making at the time. Isn't it neat? Instead of entering into His courts with praise and thanksgiving, we enter into it with desperation. We run in, slam the door behind us, and say, oh God! And our eyes are about that big around. You know what they're trying to do to me? He says, yep. Why did you drag us into that position? You remember. Now, can I tell you something? You're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Isn't that strange? Every situation that we're in, we had preceding knowledge to stay out of. We never wake up one day slammed by the devil without forewarning. I promise you that. If you haven't ever learned anything in your life, you will learn this. There's no situation that you've ever been into in your life that the Holy Spirit hasn't already been speaking to you about. And we have not been listening. Now remember, that's not one of those tile coming off of your wings so you're in utter destruction. That's not where we are. Grace and mercy gives us more than one chance. But please, hallowed be thy name means He is without blame. And the only way God can be without blame if He's vigilant to tell you what's coming. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit was sent for? So we're going to have to blame somebody here. We're going to need to blame God. Are we going to blame ourselves? The cool part about blaming ourselves is that opens up repentance. The bad thing about blaming God is that's blaspheme. There's a little sign on the way on Wadsworth there that says, that confession without repentance is just bragging. And it's absolutely right. Confession without repentance is bragging. Let that word touch you, by the way. Hallowed be His name means one of us is at blame, one of us has blame coming, and it's not you, God. Who do you call on? Numbers 10, verse 9. Numbers 10, verse 9. When you go to war, anybody in here ever gone to war? Nobody in here has gone to war? You've never had a victory unless you've gone to war. You can't have a war by fasting one meal. And you can't have a war by saying, now I lay me down to sleep. And right now, God, that's my last peep. That's a real war you're in. The Scripture says, Numbers 10 and 9. When you go to war, by the way, that's God's prediction that you will go to war. When you go to war, in your land, don't go to war in somebody else's before you've learned to war in your own. When you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, two promises. You will go to war because, number two, the enemy will oppress you. Anybody floating out there on an angel's cloud, wake up. We got word to prove you need to get off and do something. Then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. And you will be remembered before the Lord because you're making a lot of noise before the Lord. Your trumpet is your voice. Give Him praise. Sound the trumpet. Let other people know who you believe in. Like that. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God. And then when you sound the trumpet, you've declared war, you will be saved. At that point, you will be saved. From who? All of your enemies, it says. Now, whose word are you repeating? If you're obeying, whose word are you repeating? Can I tell you something? If you ever go see a doctor and you have his report, you are cursing your life by speaking his report and not the report of the Lord. I don't even care if he says you're healthy. You already knew that because you have the report of the Lord. Well, Stan, oh, quit giving me that Stan stuff. Let me tell you, in my short life, I was introduced to Dr. Spock, who I called a fool the first time I heard him. And all of a sudden, the world's figuring out he's a fool. Y'all believe that? If you don't, read some of his works. Read the Bible and see who's the truth. I've heard by the report of the medical community that you need to lay away from protein and eat carbohydrates and starches. Well, you know, that doesn't make any sense to those that have the sense of the Lord. Because you are red meat, you're not potatoes. And if you want to build red meat, you eat red meat. But we had to get quiet. We had to stop eating butter and don't drink any milk. Because those cholesterols, not Lordals, the cholesterols. And now guess what? All of a sudden, after 20 years or so, after I just keep eating butter, because I don't believe that, I don't believe things that I eat harm me, unless I'm just eating way too much. I have dominion, right? Okay. Now all of a sudden, there's been one man in the background named Atkins that's been saying, don't eat the starches, don't eat the carbs, eat the protein and you'll be healthy. Now all of a sudden the doctors wake up and say, you know what? He's right. Because why? Because the carbohydrates upset your sugar metabolism. And protein sets it straight. God's plan. You can diet any way you want to, but it won't work until you meet the plan of God. The Bible says, you don't believe this, but I'm giving you an assignment. The Bible says those that are vegetarians are weak people. So you can tell me all about the vegetarians. You can kiss the calf slobbers. You can do anything you want to. But I'm telling you, the report of the Lord is correct. It is right. I don't care what the opinion of anybody else is. It's right. Are you Christians bold enough to stand up and give the report of the Lord? Abortion is wrong. It is wrong. Because you take the place of God. You say that there can be no plan. What if Jesus, the bastard child, would have been aborted? Where would you be? Where would you be? You'd have nothing signed in blood anymore. The world called him a bastard child. Only you foolish Christians believe that he really had a father. So if it had been up to the world, and it was, oh, Herod decided that bastard child, I'm going to kill him before he bothers me. Isn't that what our welfare system, our society says now? Let's kill those children before they become a drain on us. Now you remember, Jesus is the one that started this theory. He said, I'd rather have you hot or cold. Just don't be lukewarm. He also said, get angry, just don't sin. Whose words do you repeat? Can I get personal with you just for a second? If I'm called to preach the Word of God, should you be telling me about your theory or should you be repeating mine? Come on. If I'm called of God, I don't need any help here. If I'm called of God, and you know that my words are from God, then shut your words up and repeat the ones you just heard. That's it. I'm required, by the way, I'm required to do the same thing. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not required to do. Why do you think God deals with me? To change my words. I share them with you. Why? To change your words. Man, I'm not your Messiah. But you better determine where God called me or not. And if He didn't, you need to skedaddle. And if He did, you need to get in one accord. What? Believe everything you say? Yes and no. You believe everything that I say is sincere. And you pray to God that my words fall to the ground and His stand in your heart. Because I will make some mistakes, just like you. But I'm not going to disintegrate. Are you? Nothing tickles me more than these mighty Christians that we have come and go. You know who I'm talking about. Some of them 9'7" with 10'4" voices. Some of them can talk your leg off. I went over to this church and I tried to discuss with that pastor, which means I tried to set him straight. And when he wouldn't listen to me, I come over here and now I'm trying to set you straight. Well, you know, set me straight in the name of Jesus. I need it. But don't tell me one thought of yours. I don't want to hear it. Just tell me what God tells you to say. Those big, mighty people, where are they? Where are they? This little wart defeated them. Not in arm wrestling and not in word wrestling. It's the Word that ran them off. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the Word that ran them off. Well, you're just a little too strong. Well, you're just not strong enough. Well, you're just a little too country. Well, you're just not country enough. You know what I've determined? You know, I've got one job, and I'll just put, you can repeat this. Say, I have one job. To please God. When that man stood in the Kansas State Senate, he didn't stand there to get their favor. Now, whose praise do you sing? Really? Really? So, Chuck, when I ask you, how's work looking? You're going to say, absolutely phenomenal. Even if I've been off 2 weeks, because you have the report of the Lord, and that has superseded what most people call facts. Right? Come on. Our job is not to tell others about us. Listen to me. Your job is not to tell me about you. I don't care how you're feeling. If you need help in agreement and prayer, tell me. But don't tell me how you're feeling. Well, now you're really being cruel, Stan. No, I'm not. I'm trying to get you to praise God and not your feelings. Yes. You can tell me, I got a pain that I can't locate, but I got a God that will. Amen. You can tell me that. That's fine. Like that one guy. How you feeling? Oh, I'm feeling pretty good right now, but man, I feel a big one coming on. Well, reverse it. I'm not feeling so good right now, but boy, I know a good one's coming on. A good one. A good one. Jesus. Whose praise do you sing? Do you sing the praise of the economy? Or do you recognize Jesus as your economy? Do you sing the praises of the doctor you attend? Or do you sing the praises of the great physician? Do you sing the praises of that last Christian fiction book that you read? That means a Christian lie, it's an oxymoron. Or do you sing the praise of the Word that you really believe in? I'm going to get to right here and I'm going to quit, so y'all don't get anxious. That's halfway, I think. Whose praise do you sing? When you're attacked by the enemy, do you sing about the enemy? Hey, yes, you do. And so do I. This whole message is about changing that. We all speak way too much about the attack and not enough about the deliverer. Is it evil if we speak about the attack? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what is the amen on the end of your sentence? What is the amen at the back of your sentence? I'm telling you, we ought to end every sentence with a prophecy according to the Word. I've had better times, but they don't compare to anything about what times are coming. You know? Oh, I got a little sore throat, but wait till tomorrow. I'm telling you, the enemy's defeated. The attack is defeated. It's gone. I don't care what you see. Don't care what you hear. What's our practice? Do we call Him on Him as our source or as our deliverer? Now, this is a critical question to you. Do you call Him on Him as your source or your deliverer? You see, He was our deliverer 2,000 years ago. Why would you need Him as a deliverer today? If we'd call on Him as our source, we wouldn't need much deliverance. See, it doesn't say those that call on the name of the Lord when they're in trouble will be saved. It just says those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Why wait till you get in trouble? About tomorrow, is there a chance... Now, come on, let's talk about the mind of man for a minute. Is there a chance that you might get food poisoning if you eat down at the Taco Bell? Amen. There's a chance, isn't there? Because that's what we believe. If we were calling upon the name of the Lord all the time, we wouldn't believe there's a chance. If I were an astronaut, and please, before I even say this, let me say, is it better to aim low and miss, hit, or aim high and miss? Okay. If I were the astronaut, one of those seven astronauts, I would have walked into that shuttle and I would have said, this is the safest shuttle on the face of the earth. It will go up and it will come down and I will talk to my grandchildren again. And anybody that said anything different, I would have called them a liar. Why? Because I believe what God has said about me. And what God believes about me. And what He does is give me dominion over a shuttle. And by the way, I don't care if there's six devils in that shuttle. I still win. I'm not afraid of being outnumbered. Anybody here think that I'm afraid of being outnumbered? I figure that when it's you and I, you are greatly outnumbered. Why? I really do believe the report of the Lord. I really do. I struggle with it sometimes. What does that mean? That means that weights get heavy and it's up to me to kick off the weight. Hey, when you're in the bed and the blankets are too much, kick off the blankets. Duh. If you're getting weighted down by the cares of things of this world, kick them off. Those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Kick them off. Jesus. You don't have to say anything else. As long as you're not cursing, kick them off. So this does not have dominion over me. This is not the plan of the Lord. This will not continue. And by the way, you're going to say that more to yourself than anybody else. Remember scripture I just read? When you are at war in your land, then you defeat your enemies. That's the major thing we've got to do. And when we get good at that, then we can actually step up to the plate and help somebody else. Right? What's our practice? I'm going to ask you this one more time, and then I'm going to leave it via the Holy Spirit to work in you. You're going to set forth the practice. Who do you call on? What number do you dial? what pushes your buttons and causes you to fire off the wrong direction. Huh? I know some people Wednesday night didn't call on the name of the Lord, just talked, reacted. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and already today. Why? Because you're human. And as long as you walk in that Adamic shell, you're going to fight Adam. But you're going to fight it with the name of the Lord. Please don't get naive. I'm not a priest that's going to sprinkle holy water or steam or smoke or I'm not even going to sling blood at you. I'm not going to do any of those weird things. I'm going to tell you, you have an assignment. And that is to call on the name of the Lord. That was the assignment when you were born. That's the assignment when you were born again. That's the assignment you were given when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the assignment you're going to have yesterday, today, and forever. There's always going to be a war. You're bumming me out, Stan. It's your perspective. In reality, I'm giving you hope. Because I'm telling you there's a war, but I'm also telling you there's already a victory in the name of the Lord. Not too many wars can be predetermined, but you have entered into one. And in every day it's predetermined, the outcome. All you got to do is believe that. Are we supposed to have this building? Well, if we are, Stan, you better get on the stick. You didn't hear the message today. Now, for those of you that are thinking that you won't report to your job in the morning, you'll just call on the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord is not affecting you at the moment. You're not listening. Something's wrong with you. Because I promise you, the Bible says this, a man that does not work does not eat. So there's your first promise from the name of the Lord. You're busy. What's the work? Now you've got to call on the name of the Lord to find out what your work is. See, here's the secret. God has called some to... I'm not going to start listing off. Why would I do that? Then you'll begin to look to see which category you fit in. Call on the name of the Lord. I promise you, that CEO, our Lord, knows how to give assignments. He's not bashful. He'll just look at you and say, you start doing, and he'll fill it in. He won't say, would you please? Can you imagine God doing this? Please. If that's the God you picture, you're serving the wrong God. He's not in your likeness and image. You're to become in His likeness and image. He even tries to train you that, so when you walk in to talk to Him, He says, come boldly into my presence. What was the scripture you said about the iniquity? You read it to me yesterday. Yeah, it was Ezekiel. We have many promises. In Exodus 14:13, can I give you the hardest work on the face of the earth? You guys think you've sweat drops of blood. You haven't even started till you do this. And Moses said to the people, number one, do not be afraid. Now, did you ever try not to be afraid? And yet God commands you from Genesis to Revelation, do not be afraid. And I tell you, you can walk into a church, you can put a lightning bug on the end of the stick and call it voodoo, and they'll all run. Do not be afraid. Number two, stand still. Stand still. Now, stand up for a minute. Did you ever have an enemy threaten you? You know what an enemy doesn't do? He doesn't go over here and start yelling at you. This is what he does. He starts coming. Number one, don't be afraid. Number two, stand still. And it stops. The enemy's not strong enough to push you. He's not strong enough to push you. He's just ugly enough to make you run. Scary enough. He's got the world's best Halloween costume. Even when he comes as an angel of light, when you get close, he's scary. That's why the Bible says, don't be afraid, stand still. Exodus 14:13. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, most Christians think they can see the salvation running. Huh? Yeah, God didn't give us a rearview mirror. He didn't even give you any rear armor. Just frontal armor. Because He wants you to stand. see the salvation of the Lord. By the way, here's the key, which He will accomplish for you today. See, He's not even promising that you standing still is the victory. He's just saying that's what will make me come and finish the work. For the Egyptians or the enemy that you see today, you will see again no more. You know what we do? We see God defeat the enemy right before us. And then we begin to be afraid about the next time He comes. One time God healed my heart. Was that the last temptation? No. It was just my assignment to remind the enemy that God don't give defective hearts. He gives great ones. Not intended to lose the one that God gave me. It's not real. It's a lie. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Study to show yourself approved does not mean study man's books. It means study the Word of the Lord. That'll make you big, bad, and bold. It'll make you something come out of your eye that even the enemy understands. Y'all, anybody in here know how to give one of those looks? You know what kind of look I'm talking about? One of those that says, you're about that far from dying. If you don't know what that is, you need to practice it. And then you need to use it on the enemy. You can even learn to, you can kind of give one of these. I learned that a long time ago. My kids knew what that meant. If one of those eyebrows went up, okay. I didn't have to explain it. I got tickled the other day. We got, y'all remember Claude? We got a phone call the other day, and Connie had just about had enough of this day. And he made a mistake of letting Connie answer the phone. And I the little triggers that you see, y'all study people. It's a good thing to do, my wife would. You already know. The guy on the other end better duck. She didn't curse. She didn't yell. She kind of if you haven't seen her do that, if you do, back up a little bit. Because she let that guy have it. He wasn't even calling her. He was calling me. Anyway, I don't know that he'll call again, though. Praise the Lord. Y'all stand with me. You want to hear the rest of that? I guess you have to come back next week, and then I have another half of a message hanging out there on the Lord's Prayer. So, I'm trying to fulfill them. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that we are to be peculiar people. If I have looked peculiar to you today, praise the Lord. If I've sounded like the norm, then you pray for me that I'll change. Because I want to be known as peculiar. Because that's what God calls me. Amen? I can't believe that we as a Christian community have an extreme power in the name of the Lord. And we lower ourselves to use our abilities and our techniques and our tactics and our thought processes. We can soar with eagles or whatever else is left. Yep, we can be the turkey that tries to fly. In case y'all don't understand, turkeys don't fly. That's why they're shot on the ground all the time. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Are all hearts clear this morning? Does anybody in here need some prayer about anything? Need us to stand with you? It might even encourage you. If today's message didn't, maybe we got something else we can say to you by the Holy Spirit. Anybody need any help? That's four helps, or you just one? Why don't Connie see what she, our helper or whatever. If you don't know the Lord this morning, then you don't know help. And you don't know peace, and you don't know joy, and you don't know power. Don't hide. She says she needs to basically call upon the name of the Lord. And I think what she's asking for us to help that. Anybody want to stand with her? And we'll just pray out loud for her. You understand that there are points and times in our lives that we can't call upon the name of the Lord? That's a whole other message. But the reason that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, why we're not supposed to be loners, is because there are some times in our lives when we just don't have the ability to call on the name of the Lord, but that doesn't mean somebody else can't call for us. Amen? And Father, we speak right now in answer to this request, not from us, but to You. I can't stand still and pray, Boogaland. I'm going to walk and pray, okay? Hallelujah. Lord, we give You praise. We give You honor. We realize right now and we proclaim in Jesus' name that she's not in this position because she sinned. And if that's the case, she repents. We break the curses. We just deliver her and stand with her in the deliverance in Jesus' name. And we curse the enemy's accusations, the lies that she's been told. We curse those things and send them back and let the devil live with them. We invoke the word of the Lord. We invoke the blood of Jesus. We put it on her doorpost now in Jesus' name so the death angel has to go by. We give You praise, Lord, as being the healer, as our deliverer in all things. And now we call in agreement with her upon the name of the Lord. Save her, Lord, not from sins, but from the attack of the enemy and sin. Save her now, Lord. Save her and her family. Let her be a light that can't be hidden. Let it be for Your total honor and glory, Lord. We don't ask for her. We ask for You. We lift her up not for her, but for You. Touch her, heal her, deliver her, guide her, direct her for Your honor and for Your glory. So that the one in the Bible that had the infirmity that said this was not done because of sin, but to glorify God. So we speak that about these infirmities that are represented, not just in her, but in this auditorium today. Heal, save, and deliver for Your honor and for Your glory. Encourage, strengthen. More than that, to give her specific direction on what You would have her to do. Not what somebody else has told her and not what her own body tells her, but Lord, what You would have her to do for the deliverance of her and in the kingdom. We speak that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, and give You glory. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Don't wait to give God praise until you see something. Give Him praise according to His promise, not according to what you consider proof. My wife told me the other day, she said, I'm not going to eat another bite until I see God do something. Okay, whatever God's laying on her heart. We drove out that day. We spent a little bit of time with a man. He bought a building. We drove away. I said, now, did God do something? Now, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying, where do we give God praise? Do we give Him praise because we stipulated You will perform in this way, little circus act? Or in all things do we give Him thanks? In all things do we give Him thanks? Fasting is great. Jesus Himself said some of these things can't be handled without fasting. I'm not against fasting. What I'm against is calling upon the name of the Lord to do a specific thing instead of calling upon the name of the Lord. But you don't understand. I've been hurting. I've had this problem forever. And I want God to heal it. Did you ever think that there might be one spiritual thing that's causing that? And what God wants is the spiritual thing healed and changed, and the other will take place? He's not withholding healing. The disobedience is in the way of healing. God handles things according to orders of importance. Can I just really tell you what I'm telling you this morning? Relax. Relax. I'm not trying to call you to work. I'm trying to call you to relaxation in Christ Jesus. Because the devil is going to put on you performance. And he's going to slip this nonsense in where you're actually chanting and doing vain repetitions and worrying and fearing and fretting all in the name of the Lord. And what I'm telling you is if you're not relaxed, you're not in the name of the Lord. Is your future in God's hands? Then what worries can you have? What worries should you have? Are your steps ordered? Then why are you trying to determine which way they should go? Do you trust the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do? Then why do you sit like a guy that's constipated on a pot, trying to force something to happen rather than saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I trust God. My steps are ordered. It may not even look the right way, but my steps are ordered. Let's quit trying to create our own nonsense. Why don't let God create in us sanity, peace, where that has to do with your next step, your next job, our next location, where it's where the next dollar comes from. Why do you have to worry about where the next dollar comes from? You have to worry about, do I listen? Do I obey? Do I listen? Do I obey? That's all you have to worry about. And you know what the strangest part of this is? The part we'll never understand, but we have to receive. We can say, God, help us listen. God, help us obey. And He'll do that. That's how hard our work is. Amen? Somebody takes your car away, you got to have another one. Call on the name of the Lord. You have an accident, it goes, call on the name of the Lord. You're in a quandary about your future, call on the name of the Lord. You have questions about why you can't get rid of this pain or this problem, call upon the name of the Lord. Don't ask Him to heal it. Ask Him to heal you. There's a body that has a sickness or a dis-ease, call on the name of the Lord. Whether it's loss of job, lack of funds, that's a dis-ease. Call on the name of the Lord. And He says, you will be saved. Y'all believe Him? Really do believe Him. So if every one member of your family says you're an idiot for listening to that, you're going to do it anyway, right? One more word and let's go. For those of you, right at this moment, that someone is trying to convince you to not come back to this church, you need to determine whether you're better now than you were 6 months ago. And if you are, tell them they don't know what they're talking about. Tell them you make the decisions about your future. They don't. Call upon the name of the Lord that the whole situation is healed. The whole situation, not just you're relieved, but even those that are talking to you will be saved. Amen? And if anybody starts listing off a bunch of things why you shouldn't come here, you say, probably every one of those are true, but I called upon the name of the Lord and He says I'm supposed to be there. Start letting that word and that name override every weapon that's formed against you. God wants to prosper you. He wants to prosper you. But He first wants to prosper you in your soul so that everything else can be prospered. That's what the Scripture says. All right, bow your head with me. Father, I thank You for the Word. It didn't come in the form that I expected, but I thank You for it. I thank You that You're King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But more than that, You're trustworthy. You're whole. You're holy. You're righteous. You're pure. And You're blameless. You're the King of the universe. And that I am in Your hand. Thank You, Lord, that I don't have a worry about tomorrow. That my steps are ordered and they're ordered in the direction of Your will, which is good for me. I receive that into myself. I receive that as my future. Lord, to take the word that You delivered through this Your servant. Let my words fall to the ground. But Lord, that word that You brought forth and hit every heart in here in one form or another. Plant that deep in that heart, Lord. Not so that I can brag, but so that You can brag on Your children in Your kingdom. And so that You can be glorified. That this is all about You. It's all about You. We praise Your holy name. And we thank You. We thank You for the truth and we thank You for the light. We thank You that we're saved by that. Everybody that agrees, in Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. Now we have some guests. Go back and meet them. Treat them like you'd want to be treated.